Well, good evening. Do want to welcome everybody here. We have been studying the Battle of Origins, which is the, I guess you call it the debate between creation and evolution. We're in lesson number 4, which is the scientific case for creation. Last few weeks, we have been looking at a particular law of science. This is called the law of causality, the law of cause and effect. It simply states that for every material effect, it must have an adequate antecedent cause. So every physical effect that happens, something has to cause it. It has to be an adequate cause. And it has to be an antecedent cause, meaning before. I gave the example of having a book here on the desk. If I left a room and came back and that book is now on the floor, can I assume that that book jumped off the table and landed on the floor? No. It's not an adequate cause. The book cannot jump off a table by itself. If I saw an ant going across the table, can I assume that that ant caused that book to go off the table? No. Again, it's not an adequate cause. But if I came back in and there's children running around up here, could I maybe assume that maybe one of the kids knocked it off? Yes. Because that is an adequate cause. So when we talk about the universe, it has to have an adequate cause. And science knows this. The law of causality is one of the basic laws of science. And the scientist says it's true. For every material effect, there has to be an adequate antecedent cause. Problem is, the evolutionist can't come up with a cause for the universe. We notice that the universe exists. But the question is, how did it get here? That's the big debate. We notice that there are 3 ways to account for the existence of the universe. 1, it's eternal. 2, it created itself from nothing. Or 3, it was created by someone anterior or before and superior to itself. We've already looked at 1 and 2. 1, is the universe eternal? No, it's not. Of course, we know that from the Bible. Jesus or God speaks in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the beginning, so it's not eternal. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, God says that he's going to destroy the earth with fervent heat at some point in the future. It's going to come to an end. So we as Christians, we understand that. But as we read, it wasn't until 2001 where scientists finally admitted that the universe is not eternal. Their big discovery, as we read in the article in Time magazine, was the fact that they found out that the world's going to end someday. Well, we already knew that. So anyway, the universe is not eternal. Although the scientists would love for the universe to be eternal, because that way they wouldn't have to worry about trying to explain how it got here. But they can't use that as a reasoning. And then it created itself from nothing. We looked at the Big Bang Theory. That's probably the most popular idea that evolutionists have. Remember, we read that one scientist even wrote that, well, he's the one actually came up with the theory in 1931. That he believed that the universe was compressed into one single atom. And we noted that atoms are pretty small. In fact, if you took carbon atoms, you could put 7.5 trillion carbon atoms in a period at the end of a sentence on a written page. That's how small they are. And yet, they tell us that the universe was compressed into one of those atoms, so small, and then somehow it exploded into what we have today, the universe. you and me. But you always go back to that question. What was before? Where did that one Adam come from? Well, they can't really explain that. So with the law of causality that we just mentioned, the scientists have to admit that they don't have a cause. They just come up with different ideas, and not very good ones at that. So we concluded that the universe did not create itself from nothing. So that leaves us with the third option. It was created by someone anterior and superior to itself. So was the universe created? We have seen that the universe is not eternal, and neither did it create itself. And the only other option then is it must have been created. And if created, that implies a creator. If the universe had a beginning, and of course it did, that means that it must have had an adequate antecedent cause as stated by the law of causality. But what was that cause? The question needs to be answered, what or who is the cause? That's, in essence, what the debate is between evolution and creationism. The law of cause and effect is universally accepted and followed in every field of science. The cause-effect principle states that wherever there is a material effect, there must be an adequate antecedent cause. Things just don't happen by themselves. The law is the foundation of all sciences. Logic and common sense tells us that since the universe and everything in it exist, then it had to have been caused by something or someone. As we consider the law of causality, we need to realize that if there ever had been a time when absolutely nothing existed, then there would be nothing now. It is self-evident truth that nothing produces nothing. So what does that mean? Well, in view of this, since something does exist, the universe exists, we exist, it must follow logically that something has existed forever. But what is it that has existed forever? Everything that exists can be classified in one of two ways, as either matter, talking about physical, or mind, spirit. There is no third option. Everything can be classified in one of those two ways. Has matter existed forever? Yes or no? Is the universe eternal? No. So matter has not existed forever. It is not eternal. So no is the answer. Has matter existed forever? No, it hasn't. It hasn't always been here. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created matter, the heavens and the earth. Therefore, that means that it must be mind that has existed forever. If everything can be classified in one of two ways, matter or mind, something had to have been here forever. Because if nothing had been here forever, nothing would still be here. But we have something here. Matter is not eternal. Therefore, mind must be eternal. A logical argument can be stated this way. Everything that exists is either matter or mind. There is no third option. Something exists now. So that means that something eternal exists. Something's always been here. Therefore, either matter or mind is eternal. But matter is not eternal, as we've just talked about, and as we've learned in this lesson and previous lessons also. Thus, it is mind that is eternal. You guys are mighty quiet. So what is it that's eternal? Matter or mind? Mind. Mind is eternal. What is mind? Spirit. We say God. God is eternal and is the adequate antecedent cause for the universe. The law of causality is a friend to the creationist, but a big obstacle to the evolutionist, as you can see. When they use the law of causality, I think it was Robert Jastrow was saying that the law of causality has helped solve a lot of questions that scientists have concerning the universe. They can go back in time, they can see an effect, and they can say, okay, this caused it. They can see another effect and say, okay, this caused it. But he said, when we get to the beginning of the universe, it's as if there is a curtain or a veil that we can't see past. Why is that? Because they can't look past the physical. The universe had a beginning. And so after that, they have no explanation for the cause of the universe. There is no physical cause of the universe. Again, they go back to the Big Bang Theory, saying that everything was condensed into an atom and somehow it exploded, and over a period of billions of years, here we are. But that's all they have. And as we read, even in their own writings, they realize that's a big problem. But yet, as creationists, we have no problem. Because mind has lived forever. Mind is spirit. Mind is God. He's always been here. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He created the universe. He is the causality of the universe. He is the creator of the universe. Science has proven and accepted the fact of a law of causality in the physical world. We noted that. They have no problem. That's the reason that it is a law of science, because they know of no exception. And the only exception they can come up with is the creation of the universe, because they have no other explanation. Then why do evolutionary scientists disregard this fact when trying to explain the existence of the universe? Why not just accept the fact that the law of causality is correct, and their theory of evolution and the Big Bang are false? We've noted that before. Because they really don't want to believe in God. They don't want to give credit to God. To them, everything is physical. They don't believe in the spiritual realm. And so they have to try to solve all their questions with the physical. But they just can't come up with the one answer about the universe and how it got here. Because physical didn't create it. Mind did, or spirit. Jeff Miller, he's with the Apologetics Press. He's talked about this. He says, if one were to follow the evidence wherever it leads, rather than defining God out of science, one is led to the unavoidable conclusion that there must be someone supernatural that caused the universe to be. If every material or natural effect must have a cause, then the ultimate cause of the universe must be supernatural, or beyond or above natural. And of course, that is God. But scientists want to take God out of the equation. And so they're left basically with no answers. The truth of law of causality stands on the side of the creationist, as we said. Hebrews 3:4, we mentioned this verse before. For every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is God. When we see a house that's been built, we don't say, I wonder how in the world that thing got there. Maybe the last storm that we had through the lumber yard created this thing. No. And we mentioned the fact of a camera. It doesn't create itself, but yet evolutionists want us to believe that the human eye created itself. The computer does not create itself, and yet we're told that the brain created itself. The logic isn't there. We understand that when we see a house that it did not build itself. Instead, it had a builder. Well, the same can be true of the universe. It did not create itself. It had to have had a builder, God. Scientifically speaking, according to the law of cause and effect, there had to be a cause for the universe. And that is the essence of the cosmological argument for the existence of God. We are here. We didn't happen here by an accident. We didn't happen here by nothing happening, by nothing being there. Just as that book doesn't get on the floor by itself, something greater than it had to have done it. Something greater than the universe had to have created it. The universe exists. It had to have an adequate cause, and that cause, of course, is God. Again, logic, common sense tells us that. And even the evolutionist, the scientist, understand they have a problem because they can't explain the universe. To them, there is no adequate antecedent cause. But we know the answer is God. So to answer our question, was the universe created? Yes. Or no? Yes. Okay. Yes, the universe was created. Creationists have an adequate cause for the existence of the universe. And that adequate cause, of course, as we've mentioned, is God. The evolutionists, on the other hand, well, they have nothing. No answers. No explanations. And the explanations they come up with, they know themselves, does not make sense. It goes against every law of science. And yet they say, we're here, it had to have happened somehow, but we're not going to give God the credit. How sad. When people see the evidence right before their eyes and still can't admit, there's a God. There's someone out there greater than they are. They just won't admit it.
You know, Bob, it all comes down to faith. Because, I mean, they could ask us the question, so where did God come from? And we don't have a even biblical answer on that.
We're going to talk about that.
Where he came from. He just is there.
We're going to talk about that.
Well, good. Because today, I hope.
Yeah. Very shortly.
I'm just saying that.
Oh, yeah. You go back and just, again, common sense, logic. A scientist isn't going to tell you that a camera built itself. It didn't just somehow come together and work. Yes. But yet they want to tell us that the eye, which is a lot more complicated than a camera, it happened by itself. Remember the topiary, the ornamental shrub with the elephants? The scientists, they understand. If they walked up on a topiary, a big shrub that was shaped in the size of an elephant, shape of an elephant, they would know and understand that it did not get there by itself. Somebody did that. But yet they turn right around and say, but the elephant that that thing represents, it got here by itself. Again, where's the logic? Where's the common sense? It's out the window somewhere. So again, they have a big problem.
There is kind of a cute one about the chicken and the egg.
Yeah, we'll talk about that some point along on our way too. Probably not tonight, but later on. So the universe is here. Life in our magnificent universe is here. Intelligence is here. Morality is here. These are some of the things that evolutionists have problems with. If we're just a survival of the fittest, if we're nothing more than animals, why are we concerned about morality? Why are we concerned about right and wrong? Why are we concerned about our fellow man? The animal world isn't. And they say we're just an animal. So what transpired? What happened to where we got a conscience? We believe in right and wrong. Morality. It didn't come from the physical world. It came from God. So how did all these come into existence? Since the effect, or the result, the universe, never is prior to or superior to the cause, it stands to reason that the cause of life must be both antecedent to, before, and more powerful than the universe. A living intelligence that is itself of a moral nature. That describes God. He is the cause of everything. Intelligence, consciousness, morality. While the evolutionist is forced to concede that the universe is, as Dr. Jastrow stated, we read this, an effect without a known cause, the creationist knows there is an adequate cause, a creator, that is in keeping with the known scientific facts such as the law of causality. Again, the law of causality, which states that there had to be something before, greater than the event itself, is no problem to the creationist. Because that describes God. But the evolutionist, again, they have nothing. As Dr. Jastrow said, an effect without a known cause. We don't know exactly how it got here, but we're here. We have seen that the universe is not eternal. The universe did not create itself. Therefore, that leaves only one option. The universe had a creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God starts out with that simple statement, fact, in his revelation to mankind, you and me. There's nothing hard or complicated about that statement. But for some reason, people want to make it hard and complicated. But it all boils down, like we said before, they don't want to believe in a God. And so they come up with all kinds of explanations, trying to leave God out of it. But no matter how hard they try, God's not going to be left out of it. Whether they accept God as their Lord and Savior, at one point in time, it says that every knee is going to bow down to Jesus Christ. And they'll acknowledge that fact. But then it'll be too late. God has given us the evidence that He exists. He's given us the intelligence to comprehend that. But again, it's so sad that so many people choose to ignore it. Any questions, comments?
And then make the law of propagation, or it would stop creation would stop. Everything can propagate itself.
That's another problem that evolutionists have. You know, they talk about everything came from one cell and branched out from there. But if somewhere along the line, you not only branched out, but then you had to have a male and female of everything that were complementary to one another that happened at the same time so they could reproduce. What's the odds of one life coming into existence as opposed to two that complement one another? Both of them are next to impossible. Bless you, Dan.
Too many are just determined they're not going to admit that there's a God or creator.
That's what it boils down to.
A professor Monday before the eclipse said that he believed that a giant meteor bounced off the earth 2 years ago, and that's the moon, you know. Mm-hmm. Bounced into this precise.
Yeah, they've got all kinds of ideas, theories about how everything happened. But like I said, they only deal in the physical world. And so they got to come up with some kind of physical thing that may have happened. They just unfortunately leave God out of the whole equation. And so they come up with things that really don't make a lot of sense. And as we've read, even in their own writings, especially among themselves, they know they've got problems. But yet when they write this stuff down in our children's textbooks, when they say it on the TV programs, science programs, they state it as fact that there is absolutely no doubt this is what happened. But yet they know that they don't have no evidence to back it up. Yes, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As Don was saying, the next question that most people ask is, if the universe is not eternal, and mind is eternal, or spirit, God, and everything has a cause, what caused God? Where did God come from? Good question. And I'd like to hear your answers.
There are things that will be revealed at the end that we don't know now.
It is kind of hard for us to get our mind around, isn't it? We start talking about eternity, something eternal, something that has no beginning and no end. We just really can't comprehend that. You can sit there and think about God as always being here, and you think, okay, he's far back as you can think, and you go back to that, like to do the universe. Where did it start? Well, there is no start with God. As much as it is hard for us to comprehend, He had no beginning. He has always been here. The law of causality, which states that every material effect must have an adequate antecedent cause, is true, or if it's true, and it is, then the question which must be asked is, water whom caused God? And that's the what everybody's going to ask you. Where did God come from? Well, first, let's notice that this statement, the law of cause and effect, or law of causality, is based on a misunderstanding of what the law of cause and effect claims concerning the universe. Notice that the law states that every material effect must have an adequate antecedent cause. It says nothing about the spiritual world. So even the scientists have defined it to deal only with material world. They understand that the material world, there must have been an adequate antecedent cause. And so when you deal in the spiritual world, the physical laws don't apply. A law of science is determined through the observation of nature, not supernature or spiritual world. Scientists cannot apply the scientific law of causality to it. The laws of nature do not apply to non-material entities, speaking of God. So the God of the Bible is a spiritual being and therefore is not governed by a physical law. He's above all that, beyond all of that. So when we begin to try to think logically, as we've been doing with the physical realm, that something had to have a cause, it had to have a cause, it had to have a cause, the universe is here, it had to have a cause, that same logic, that same reasoning is gone now. You apply it to the spiritual realm because it doesn't work there. The spiritual realm doesn't have to have a cause. The law of causality only applies to the physical world and not the spiritual. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God's a spirit. He's not physical. Now, he has shown himself in certain ways, but that is just him and putting his image on something, like Moses in the burning bush. And of course, Jesus came to this earth in the form of a man. And at the time he was here on this earth, he did have certain limitations. But when you're talking about the pure spiritual world, the law of cause and effect does not apply. God doesn't have to have a cause. Michael Shermer, executive director of the Skeptic Society, said this: if God is a being in space and time, it means that he is restrained by the laws of nature and the contingencies of chance, just like all other beings of this world. An omniscient and omnipotent God must be above such constraints and not subject to nature and chance. God is creator of heaven and earth, and all things invisible would need necessarily to be outside such created objects. So in other words, when we talk about the spiritual world, when we talk about God, sometimes we do, because that's the only thing we understand is the physical world, we try to impose those physical properties upon God. Well, that doesn't work. God is outside the physical realm. He's above the physical realm. He created the physical realm. He created the scientific laws that we know and understand. He's above all that. He's beyond all of that. He is superior to all of that. He is the creator of all that. So he can't be confined to the spiritual realm or the physical realm or the physical laws. In the material world, everything which has a beginning has a cause. But according to the Bible, God is spirit and has no beginning. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 90, verse 2. The Bible describes God as a being who has always been and always will be from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 103, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. God, not being a physical, finite being, but an eternal, spiritual being, would not be subject to the condition of a beginning. Therefore, the law does not apply to him, as we've stated. We stated earlier, if there was ever a time in history when absolutely nothing existed, not even God, then nothing would exist today, since nothing comes from nothing. But something does exist. We know that. We understand that. However, we know that something exists. The universe, you and I, we're here. Which means something had to have existed eternally. Going back to our logical argument that we stated earlier, the universe exists. Fact. Therefore, something or someone has always existed. Because if there was nothing before, there would be nothing now. But there's something here, so there was something before. I'm not trying to trick you or get you confused, but that's just the logic of it. There is something here, so something has always existed. Otherwise, we would have nothing. That which has always existed is either matter or mind, as we stated before. And as we noticed before, matter does not exist forever. Logically, that means that mind is eternal. The mind, according to the Bible, is God. God has always existed. He's in the spiritual realm. The physical laws that we've been talking about doesn't apply to him. It doesn't apply to the spiritual realm. There may be laws there we don't know. We don't understand the spiritual realm. We know some about the physical realm. But there's still lots of unanswered questions out there, even in the physical realm. But God does have all the answers. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed, but you are the same. Your years will have no end. God has no beginning. God has no end. As hard as that is to comprehend and understand, that is fact. That is the truth. God has always been here. He has the power to create the universe. And that's exactly what he did. As stated in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning of what? Time, as far as we know it. In the beginning of our time, God created, God made, he brought into existence the universe. You and me. Image. We'll get into that later too. God created everything, but one of the things that as Bert was saying is that we were created in his image. Nothing is said about the animals being created in the image of God, only mankind. Yes, we are above the animals. We are not an animal, like the evolutionists say. We, as it were, in our physical realm, the ultimate creation of God. He wants us to be with him. throughout the rest of eternity. Yes, we have a beginning. We're all born. But do you realize we are going to live on forever? Many times we get in our minds that we're going to die. And we are, physically speaking. But our spirit, our soul, lives on forever. If you try to comprehend living forever, that just goes back to trying to figure out the beginning and the ending of God. We really can't comprehend that. But we are going to live on forever. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, where? There's only two options. In heaven with God, or in hell with Satan. God created us. Sometimes we wonder why. But I believe He wants to share heaven with you and me. It's such a beautiful place that He wants us to experience it. But in order for us to experience it, we have to make sure that our lives are free from sin. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That's why He sent Jesus Christ to shed His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that He made, can cleanse us of our sins. Because where God is, sin can't be there. And so we have to deal with that problem of sin. And if we deal with that problem of sin, then we can be with God. He created this universe, and it is magnificent. But you just imagine that this is just a drop in the bucket compared to what heaven's going to be like. He wants us to be there, you and me. And the only thing stopping us from getting there is our own self. It's our decisions, our choices, that determine where we will be. We will continue on next week talking about this. So before we go, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us. We thank You for this beautiful universe that we live in the world. We thank You for Your love and sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to live on this earth, to be an example to each one of us, and also be a sacrifice so that we can have our sins forgiven, that we may ultimately live with You forever in eternity. We pray that we will live our lives in such a way that we can do that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.